Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, I've only got, in the traditional church, I've only got 38 minutes. Thank God I'm not in a traditional church. Because I wouldn't make it. Well, I might make it if the Spirit wanted to do that. But if you brought your tithes and your offerings, the offering plates in this conspicuous place, just make it out to the Holy Church of God. And we will make sure that the Venables get it. So we can pay the light bill and the phone bill and the lawnmower bill and all those other bills that we have as a church, as a body, as a congregation. God is so good. God is so wonderful. I want to talk to you today. It's kind of quiet in here, and it's kind of been good because I want to talk to you today about the God of your trials and tribulation. Because see, Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials, and in this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. I'm going to go ahead and get on a little soapbox here because I felt prompted by the Spirit of the Lord to do it when I was praying this morning. You know, we got ministers today, they talk about faith and they talk that we can just shy away all of our troubles, all of our situations away. But yet, it says, I'm not going to quote it verbatim because I'm going to turn to it in a little while. But in Acts 14:22, it says, we're going to enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. And I find it hard to believe that we can preach some of the things we preach when yet the Word of God clearly says we're going to have trouble, we're going to have tribulation. There's going to be all kinds of catastrophic events happen in the last days, such as we've seen. We've seen the tsunami. We've seen what Hurricane Rita did. And these are all tribulation, and these are all trials. Thank you, Father. See, sometimes we go through tribulation, and we go through trials. We go through circumstances, and we don't understand why we go through some of the things we go through. I hope today clarify. I'm not going to finish it all. I'm already aware of that. I hope today clarify some things. Is when we go through these trials, sometimes we begin to discredit the love that God has for us. We kind of begin to question or wonder, does God really love me? And if God really loved me, why am I going through this? It's because He loves you that you're going through it. See, when we first got saved, and we got in trouble, Daddy came and delivered us just like that. We prayed and He came. But see, now as we're growing as adults in Christ Jesus, now we have to go through some things. Now we have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we don't like enduring this hardness. We don't like enduring the painful afflictions. We don't like trouble in our life. We like everything to go smooth. We don't like no bumps in the road. We don't like no valleys down low. We like everything smooth. I go to work, I come home, I retreat, as George said earlier, and I like everything smooth. Well, there are things that happen in life that we can't control. There are things that happen to you, and there are things that happen to me that we cannot control. But God wants us to understand that He's still God. He is still on the throne. And if you have your Bible, turn with me please to Acts 14:22. I always love to give scriptural reference because I believe that's what ministers should do. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What kind of tribulation? Much. So everything's not going to be rosy. Everything's not going to be peachy as the American dream portrays. Why we try to have the American dream in the church today is beyond me. The church should shy away from the American dream. The church should be about God's dream and should be about what the Holy Ghost has to say into the church. The church should be proclaiming what Jesus has to say to the church. The church should not try to take the ideas or the concerns or the restraints of the world and bring them into the church as we've seen in the last decade. We should shy away from that. We should turn away from that. We should get away from that positive thinking that's in the church today. God is alive. God sits at the right hand of the Father. He's not short His arm is not short that it cannot save. It is strong, able, ready to do battle, my brother and sister. He's able to deliver you. If you just trust in Him, He will deliver you. Trust in the Lord with all of your might, lean not to your own understanding. It does not matter what you're going through. God is able to deliver you. God is able to save that old rotten stinking husband of yours, or that old rotten stinking wife of yours. God is able to deliver you and save them. God is able to send you a wife if that is what you're seeking. But trust in the Lord. Put Him first, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first His kingdom, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. It's in seeking the kingdom, my brother and sister. And when we're seeking His kingdom, we need to put our kingdom aside. And in the church today, it's all about my kingdom and my life and my health. And we need to get back to God and what God wants to say to me and what God has to say to me. See, I grew up in a little different church. I grew up in a little different time. And even though I'm younger than some of you, God put some things in me that are ironclad that cannot be taken away. God put some things in me that will not go away because He put them in there by His Spirit. I didn't receive some of the things I received from man, from Christian Bible college. I received them from the Lord, as Paul said. The teachings I received are from Christ and Christ Jesus alone. And what better teacher to have than Christ? I'm not saying we can't glean from Bible and from college and from professors, but what better way to glean than from Jesus Christ Himself? That's why the apostles had so much effect in their day and in their time, because they had been with Jesus. If men of God would just get back to being with Jesus and going away and into a mountain and finding some rest and praying, and I pray that's what our pastor's doing, is getting alone with God and finding some rest and hearing from the voice of God so we can know the direction and the timing that we have to go through and what direction to go. Trials, hardships that try our faith. Some very severe, according to 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Sometimes the trials are unknown. I mean, we need to look at life itself. We don't always understand. We don't always know. But we know one thing, that God is real and God is alive. And God is moving in these last days. God is moving. You look to your neighbor and say, God is on the move. I don't care what you're going through. God is on the move. There's sometimes we go through physical trials, physical tribulation. Sometimes we don't understand, we don't know why, but we go through the physical. We might get a pain and we don't know why the pain's there. And we might go to the doctor and the doctor find nothing there. Thanks be to God. Thank the Lord. I had a pain last week. I went to the emergency room and they told me I was constipated, basically. As some of my relatives told me, I was just full of it. But moving right along, as we began to do the research, I had people tell me, well, you probably got a hernia, this, that, and the other. And I said, hello, wake up, smell the coffee. I didn't get on to my relatives. I didn't get on to my family. I just said, wait a minute. The doctor just said I was constipated. That's nothing major. That's nothing that's severe. I'm going to go with just being constipated. I don't have a hernia. They did x-rays. I don't have nothing. I'm going to go with what the doctor said and drink some milk and magnesia and go on, glory be to God. Take some X-Lax and this too shall pass. Lord must have gave me that because I can't think of that on my own. But it's an amazing thing. We go through something and everybody tries to be a doctor. Well, you got this wrong with you. You got that wrong with you. You really need to do this. You really need to do that. Not once did I hear somebody say, let's pray and trust God. Did I? Any one of y'all? And I don't mean to put them on the spot. I just mean when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, you got to have God sometimes and you got to have God alone. It's God in the fire with you. He's the fourth man in the fire. When you walk through the fires, the scripture says they will not overtake you. They will not quench upon you. When you come out, you're not even going to have the smell of smoke. When the waters try to overtake you, they're not going to overtake you. Why? Because the Lord is for you. And we must remember that when we go through a trial, we go through a downtime, we go through a valley experience, that God is still with us. We may not feel His presence, but we must understand that He's still there because He lives inside of us. Hallelujah. And it's in that living inside of us that we can rest assured that He's with us. Sometimes the footprints you see aren't yours, they're His. He's just carrying you. You don't even realize it because He's carrying you on His arms of love and His wings of mercy. How dare we account? How dare we replace faith from God? How dare we equivalate faith above God? And my brother and sister, if you listen very carefully, faith is superseded God and what God will do for you. Now it's believe this and this and this and God will do this. David never did that. David called upon the Lord and the Lord answered. See, I have to go back to the ancient landmarks, my brother and sister. You do what you want to, but sometimes you need to go back to the basics and go back to the Bible and pick up the Bible and turn off the television and turn off the radio and turn off that preacher that you hold high esteem above God. See, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, including this man. See, this is what we must live by. This is what we must gauge our life by. This is the roadmap we must follow to find eternal life. This is the only roadmap that we need. We don't need everything the glitter isn't gold, my brother and sister. That preacher, that prophet, that evangelist that you hold in esteem, just because he's up there for an hour, if he's got a life that he's got to live, and if he hasn't been through some things, and he's just up there prancing and prancing about what God hasn't really done, but what God has done, God will do some amazing things. God will do some amazing things. It's an imperative thing that we've got people trying to refute and get from God's healings, and God will still heal, and we've got people that aren't really being healed in services that aren't healed, that say they're healed and they're not healed because the newscasters follow them up and there's no evident healing. There's no record of an actual healing. I believe that if somebody's healed, there'll be a record of an actual healing. I believe I'm not afraid to go to the doctor. That's why I wasn't afraid. I said, you know what? I'm going to pacify my family. I'm going to go to the doctor. I even told my wife, I'm going to go to the doctor and he ain't going to find nothing wrong because I'm a child of God. That's just what I believe. I've got nothing. Sometimes I like to use the doctor to prove some skeptics wrong, even the doctors. So I had this pain, and it was, I don't say I'm in pain unless I'm in pain. You can ask my wife. I don't say I'm sick unless I'm sick. And even when I'm sick, I don't like to say I'm sick. Not that there's nothing wrong with saying that. I just want to believe what the Bible has to say. God, you're going to heal me. May take 3 days, but you're going to heal me. Brother Sean, why does God wait sometimes to heal some people and other people He just doesn't? See, I'm glad you asked that. Because He's teaching you patience. We don't remember that when we're going through the trial, though. We want the healing yesterday. We want the healing. It might have been 5 years ago you prayed for something. God hasn't forgotten. We have. But God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten that simple prayer of faith that you prayed for your family members to be saved. God hasn't forgotten. Trials are designed to test our faith according to Genesis 22, 1 through 18. They're also designed to purify our faith according to Malachi 3, 3 and 4, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 9. They're also used to increase our patience according to James 1, 3, 4, and 12. They're also designed to bring us to a better place according to Psalm 66, 10 through 12. They're also designed, this one we don't want to hear, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They're also designed to chasten us according to Isaiah 48, 10. They're also designed to glorify God, 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Our trials, we don't like them, but they serve a person. Purpose. I don't know what you're going through, but obviously somebody's going through something, because God wouldn't have had me deliver this message today if somebody wasn't going through something. God is on the move. God wants to deliver you. You know what? I left my other Bible in there because it was all beat up, and this one is too. Brother, can I borrow your Bible? Please, sir. Thank you. This Bible's beat up like mine is. Glory to God. That means He reads it. We should read our Bibles. We should pray. And in this day and age, we're all pressed for time. But we still need to find that time. I know about time because I worked 65 hours last week. And I went home yesterday and I was just exhausted yesterday. And I slept in the afternoon longer than I wanted to. I was a little upset with my wife. I wasn't too upset, but I said, honey, you let me sleep longer than I wanted to. But I came down here anyway and went in the portable and was just praying. And I was down here for a couple hours and said, okay, I need to go home. Got up early and came here this morning so I could hear from God, because it's important to hear from God. Thank you for the amens. It's important to hear from God. I don't want to just shoot off at the mouth about things that I haven't studied about, or things that God haven't laid on my heart. Too many ministers today just go with a little black book. I believe God has something bigger and better than that to say. You know, Doug and I, we were in the Christian bookstore one day, and I jokingly picked up that black book and said, hey, brother, look, I never have to study again. I never have to seek God again. I can just go by this book, and when Brother Venable needs me to minister, I can just use this book and minister. And he knew I was joking, because I looked at that book and said, my, why in the world is this in the Christian bookstore? What happened to the men of old that used to get on their face before God and seek God for a sermon and seek God's face to hear from the voice of God? Because it's important that we hear from heaven so God can heal our land. It's also important that we repent of our sins. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I believe it is. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven and he will heal our land. See, judgment doesn't begin in the world. It begins in the church. The fire that we love, that cleanses us, is that same fire that hypocrites hate and the ungodly hate. I don't know why I said that, but I did. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, by God, be a Christian. Be a Christ follower. Be a Christ imitator. We know that we pass from death to life because we have love for the brethren. Thank you for the amens, but I don't know why I'm on that. Can't say I love the brethren and don't want to come in and pray with them. When it's time to pray, when it's time for church to begin, we got to call what it is what it is. I'm a truth man. I'm a Jesus man. He was the truth. So if you got a problem with truth, you got a problem with Jesus, because he was the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. God is good. Boy, y'all some quiet folks today. Quiet folks. My. My goodness. I can't wait to tell Brother Bibble how quiet y'all were. No, I'm just kidding. I don't talk to the pastor about the services, honestly. God comes, God moves, and we go on. But it is an amazing thing a lot of the times when he ministers and I minister, how everything kind of flows together. That's called the Spirit of the Lord, my brother and sister. That's called us having the same mind, speaking the same thing. They might be different sermons, but they kind of just go together. I've talked about love. He's talked about love. Maybe been a couple weeks later, but God always, and I love that about God. You know, he did that when I used to teach youth too, so it's something I'm accustomed to. I expect him to do that because it's the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Douglas, you got me confused over here with your Bible. That's okay. Y'all bear with me a second. I should have brought my old Riley Bible over here, but that's okay. I can't find it in his Bible, but that's okay. I'm gonna try to quote it. Brethren, think it not strange the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing has happened to you. See, it's an amazing thing. A trial comes and we, oh God, where's God? Where's he at? He's right where he said he is, at the right hand of God the Father. You might get a negative report from a doctor. God is still there. How's God going to show his glory if we never have a bad report and everything's always peachy and everything's always smooth? How's God going to show himself strong to us and show us that he's with us, show us that he's still the God of the universe, unless we go through some things in life called trials and tribulations? Jesus said, I've overcome the world, so be of good cheer. There's nothing we need to worry about. I know that's easy to say when you're not going through a trial. But understand this, my brother and sister, that if the same God that's taking you in is the same God that's going to bring you out. The same God that takes you in that trial is the same God that's going to bring you out. The same God that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on trial with Nebuchadnezzar is the same God that was in the fire with them, and the same God that brought them out of the fire, and the same God that tore down the golden calf, and they begin to worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, because He was the God through the fire, in the fire, and He's the God that brought them out of the fire, my brother and sister. He's not a God that doesn't go with you. He's not a God that forsakes you. No, He's a God that takes you in under the shadow of His wings and takes you right straight through the fire. Through the fire, through the flood, God is still on the throne. And we don't need to worry about some of the trials that we go through. They serve their purpose. Sometimes it pushes us so close to God, we don't even realize it. Why? Because we find that time when we're going through something to get in His presence. And we all know that in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we're going through something, we seem to find that time to pray. We seem to find that time to just get alone and want to hear from God. Thank God my wife understands that when I have to minister, I've got to get away from the house. I got to get away from everything because I want to hear from the Lord. And honey, thank you for allowing me the time to do that. That's a sacrifice, honey, and I thank you. See, we all make sacrifices for the kingdom of God. If you really want to serve God, you'll sacrifice something. You might shut off the television for an hour. I found that when I come home from work, I tell myself, if I sit on the couch, I'm done. I'm done. Forget it. I'm like a wet noodle. Within 3 minutes, I'll be asleep. But if I come in and I walk around, put some music on, I'm okay. The moment I sit down, though, I'm done. Because I work hard, because I believe that a Christian should be the hardest worker on the job. Thank you for the amens. I didn't hear too many of them, but I believe we should represent Christ and represent Him well. We're Christians. The Bible does say if a man asks us to go a mile, we need to go two. Ooh, ouch. Jesus don't play. Jesus don't play. Jesus don't mince words. Why we have people today that want to mince words and want to take away from that is in fine writ is beyond me. But Jesus doesn't play. And one more thing, my brother and sister, God has our backs. Our backs might be up against the wall. The enemy might be on every side. He might be all around you, but God has your back. God is your rear guard. He's coming up from behind on the side. God is your rear guard. God has your back. Let the trials come. Let the storms blow. God is still on the throne. Tribulations, descriptive of national distress, distresses, Deuteronomy 4:30. Afflictions, 1 Samuel 10:19. Persecutions, 1 Thessalonians 3:4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is not dead. We need to live like, and we need to walk like He's not dead. We need to walk through those doors as if God was walking right next to us, because He is. He may not be physically, but He's omnipresent, my brother and sister. He's with you when you don't feel Him, and He's with you when you feel Him. Unfortunately, we're a feeling type of individual. We're feeling beings. So we tend to recognize and sense, when we sense God, oh, God's with me. God's with me. I sense His presence. He's with me. He's as with you when you don't sense His presence as He is when you do sense His presence. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say He's with you more when you don't sense His presence than when you do sense His presence. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Bible says He prayed for Peter. We have an intercessor, my brother and sister. One that prays for us. Thank God he prays for us. We don't have a high priest who hasn't been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he's been touched. He knows the pain. He knows hunger pains. He knows what it's like to have gas. Jesus knows what it's like to have all of the above because he walked on this earth in a human body. And thank God he wasn't a woman. I'm just funning. He came down as a man. Why? Because as God wrote this thing out, he was to be the head of the church. And that's why he set up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the body. And if Christ is the head and we follow the head, we won't listen to some of the teachings that are on the television today. Because they're not from Jesus. Anything that puts faith above God is not from the God. Thank you for the amen. Anything that equivalates faith to some force that is above God, I don't listen to. My wife might get mad at me sometimes because she'll say, oh, you need to listen to this. And I don't always listen to everything everybody has to say. I go with what the Bible has to say. I'm gonna go with the good book until the day I die. Turn with me, please, to the book of Romans. I'm gonna be reading out the Amplified. God's in your trial, my brother and sister. That circumstance, God's with you. And he's able to deliver you. He's able to take you through it. And he's able to deliver you. You have to determine the road God wants to take you down. You're going to determine that by your attitude. You're going to determine that by your actions. You get that old moldy grub, bad attitude, he's going to teach you some patience. That old cast down spirit, well, God hasn't come through yet. No, he hasn't. He's never late though. He's always on time. Never late. He's always on time. I'm going to start in chapter 5, verse 1, and I'll probably go down through verse 4. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold, to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experience and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. That means be joyful in your troubles. Uh-oh. I know this one's hard, my brother and sister, but we can do it. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Rejoice in our sufferings. We don't like to suffer. We don't like to turn the other cheek either. It's part of suffering. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. My brother and sister, let me go back here. See, the Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Just because you get saved at 14 years old, and you think you can go and live your life any old way you want to, you're not enduring until the end. Thank you for the amens. You're not enduring till the end. Just because you get saved and you come to church on Sunday morning and you have nothing to do with God the rest of the week, you're not enduring till the end. You're not doing what Paul said. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I strain, it says in the Greek. And brother, it's a strain in these last days to live for Jesus. I didn't say it couldn't be joyful, but it's a strain because of the pressure, because of the time that we're limited to be in God's presence and to be in God's house. Paul knew something what it was like to have distresses. He says, I've despaired of life itself. I was in the the deep for a day and a night. See, Paul knew what it was like to go through trials. Paul knew what it was like to go through tribulations, but yet he still glorified God and said, yea, in all these things we're more than conquerors. These light afflictions are but for a moment. And I know we don't see them as light afflictions, and myself doesn't either. But in reality, we haven't been nailed to a tree like Peter. We haven't been burnt with oil like some of the first century Christians. We haven't been burned to the stakes yet. But the trials and the tribulations that are ahead, God wants you to know that He's going to be with us. God wants you to know that He's able to deliver us. But it's in God's timing. It's not in my timing. It's not in your timing. It's in God's timing. It's in God's timing that He chooses to deliver that cancer patient. It's in God's timing that He chooses to deliver us out of that financial situation that we're in. We won it yesterday, but God says, no, I want you to suffer. So you're suffering so you can endure patience. Patience, experience hope. Why? So we can be fully furnished brethren, fully furnished Christians. My brother and sisters, so we can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All these trials, all these things that we go through, they serve their purpose. We may not see it, but God is teaching us patience in them. Amen. Your husband might not be saved yet, but hold on. He that shall come will come, and He's not going to tarry. The King of glory shall come in to your household. Hold on, my brother and sister. Patience. Let patience have its perfect work. But we're not patient in America. Oh no. We gotta have it microwaved. We think God's in some microwave. We say it and we expect God to do it. Right then. We don't want to learn anything about patience. We don't want to learn anything about suffering. We don't want God to take us through. We just want God to deliver us. God took them through the Red Sea. Walked them right straight through it, my brother and sister. God took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fire, in the fire. But the fire didn't kindle upon them, but He took them through it. He took Daniel through the lion's den, but the mouth of the lion was shut. You're not gonna stop adversity. Adversity is going to be here as long as you're a Christian. After you're illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, the Bible says. See, we're trying to teach people today that when you get a Christian, everything's rosy, everything's great. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is, yes, you're a child of God. Yes, your sins have been forgiven. Yes, you're going to have peace because you have Him who is the Prince of Peace. But you're going to have trouble. You're going to have turmoil. You're going to have tribulation in your life. You're going to have circumstances that you cannot control. You can't control death. But God can. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, the Scripture says. But God is able to deliver you. We've not resisted unto blood, my brother and sister, striving against sin. God is able to deliver you. Maybe He doesn't want to deliver you right now like we want Him. Maybe He wants to teach you some patience. And I know you're sitting there saying, Brother Sean, I can't be patient much longer. I've waited 5 years. I've waited 10 years. I've waited 14 years. I've waited 6 months. I've waited 20 years and I'm still waiting, Brother Sean. Remember, time is no essence with the Master. Time is no essence with the Master. Time is no essence with the Master. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you walk through that storm? Maybe a storm of losing your job. Maybe a storm of whatever the storm might be, whatever the situation might be. God wants to take you through it. God wants to teach you something. So the x-ray came back negative. That doesn't mean He still isn't God. He is God. He always will be God. I want to read Acts 14:22 in the Amplified. Establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. See, how dare we say everything's going to be rosy? Wasn't rosy for the disciples. Wasn't rosy for Paul. They had it so bad, Jesus had to tell them to go fishing to pay the temple tax. Go get the temple tax out of the fish's mouth so we can pay it. They had trouble. They had Jesus with them on the boat when the storms and the seas raged. And what did they do? Did they panic? They panicked. And Jesus told them they had little faith. Why? Because the Master was right there. Jesus gets up and He calms the storm. He's not always going to calm the storm without. He's going to calm the storm within. And then He's going to calm the storm without. See, it's that storm within sometimes that we need to get calmed down. That unsureness that God is with us. We need to be sure and steadfast that God is with us. Hallelujah. We need to be sure and steadfast that God is with us. See, we tend to question the love of God when we go through something. And I guess it's because we're human. I'm never going to understand it because I do it as well. But God wants us to be rest assured that when we go through something, He's with us. No matter the outcome, He's with us. See, we might be like Moses and go down to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Does Pharaoh let him go right away? No, he stiffened his neck. Sometimes we begin to pray and we begin to get into spiritual warfare. And instead of us seeing a positive outcome, we see it actually in the reverse. Why? Because God's going to teach us something if we just hold on and we focus on Him and we listen to Him. He's going to show us something about spiritual warfare that we know nothing about. He's going to show us that in our patience we possess our souls. He's going to show us that it's in that endeavoring to be at peace with our brethren and with God and with man. To live peaceably if by all means possible. See, Paul went through everything he went through. All the troubles, all the trials that he went through. He said, "Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God." And that's what we must understand, my brother and sister. No matter what we go through, there is nothing that can separate us from that love. That love is divine. Maybe you didn't have a good father that loved you with that unconditional love. But God will always love you with that unconditional love. Maybe you didn't have that mother that loved you like you thought you should be loved. But God will never disappoint you. God will always love you. Sometimes we don't have the acceptance of our family members that we would like. But you will always have the acceptance of your Heavenly Father because He loves you with an everlasting love. And I know the thoughts that He thinks towards you and towards me, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. See, our end is with the Master. Our end is in glory land. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, the trump of God is going to shout and we which are alive are going to be caught up in the air. But if the Lord tarries, we're going to serve our course and we're going to pass away and die. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. See, it's an important thing that we understand that we don't let these trials get to us sometimes like they do. I don't want, you know, the little trials. You know, the trials is somebody aggravated me at work today and I got really angry. And, you know, the trials that we fail at day in and day out trials. Not big trials, but the day-to-day trials. The bad attitude trials with the wife and with the husband. And I know I'm not talking to anybody in this room because, you know, we're not human in this room. We're all super Christians. We're all super saints. And we all just live for God perfectly and never make a mistake. But in all realities, when we have those everyday trials, those everyday tribulations, sometimes we fail miserably. And God wants to teach us. God wants to teach us to come out of those little trials. Because we're good at the big ones. The big trials we're good at. We know what to do. We'll fast 5 days if we need to. But it's those everyday little trials when, you know, we wake up and we don't feel so good. And we're kind of, we wake up aggravated. We don't have no reason to be. We just are. I'm speaking for the men here because, you know, we'll wake up tired. And so we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And our wife says something and it just really gets to me. And I snap. And it's not because I want to snap it. I just do it. I know I'm telling on myself, but it's all right. God is still good. God is still gracious. We are what we are, my brother and sister, by the grace of God. Not by what we do or what we don't do. That's what you need to understand and learn. We are what we are by God's grace. I can't be any better than I am right now without His grace. It's His grace that makes us what we are. Can't play these drums without God's grace. Can't get up in the morning without God's grace. It's His grace, my brother and sister, that allows us to go through these trials and these tribulations. It's the mercy of God that's brought us this far as a church, as a body, that we've able to come together, we're able to join together through all the trials that we've been through, through all the rallings and ravelings and riotings that we've had in this church. It's an amazing thing that we can still come and God can still mend us and God can still cause us to love one another and work inside of us to bring us through some of the trials that He's brought us through. But He brought us through, didn't He? Amen. He brought us through. I know at times it didn't seem like He was going to bring us through, but He brought us through. And I know we look small and we appear small. But see, we need to go back to some of the groanings of the Spirit that God began to say to us. He began to say to us things like, you're going through a sifting. And people have sifted out that we never thought would have sifted out. People that we thought were strong in the faith. People that people that I looked up to, I would have thought never would have left this church. But yet they left and we scratch our heads, okay, now what are we going to do? And we are still saying that to this day, but God is going to bring us through. I know we're not the greatest about evangelizing, but God is going to show us how. And God is going to show us what to do. I know we don't have the greatest choir, but we love to worship God. We love to sing His praises. We love to adore Him. I'm not the best drummer in the world, but I love to play for my King. Mike's not the best piano player in the world, but he loves to play for his God. See, and God has brought us through all these trials because He's working in you, He's working in me to serve a purpose in these last days, so that we can be that light on the job that we're supposed to be, so that we can be that example that we're supposed to be. I'm glad God didn't call us to be perfect. He did call us to be mature. I'm glad God didn't tell me I need to be perfect in everything I do, because I'll quit right now. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful for His mercy. We need to understand, my brother and sister, trials are going to come for the rest of our lives. Had one amen and a few holy murmurs. Trials are going to come the rest of your life. Some of you have been through trials with your own family members. I mean, how does that happen? You grow up together, you love one another, you play together, and then all of a sudden there's a conflict. There's a misunderstanding, there's a misinterpretation, and you can't see eye to eye. But yet God brought you through that. God delivered you. God made peace between you when there wasn't peace. Because He's God. He does those things because He can. We can't do anything without Him, my brother and sister. Can't do a thing without Him. These church doors wouldn't be open without Him. And God has brought our pastors through some trials and He's brought our pastors through some tribulations. Wow. where God has taken our pastors. I mean, wow. I look back and I say, my God, He did it again. He delivered us just like He said He would. He delivered you just like He said He would. You know, even as Christians, sometimes we get in that miry clay. You know, because we don't pray like we should. And we don't read like we should. So that means the flesh is winning if we don't do those things. Thank you for the amens. Whoever we yield ourselves members to, those servants we are, whether of sin unto unrighteousness, or whether of good to righteousness. And that's not verbatim, but I'll get it for you if you need me to. It's in Romans, I believe it is. See, whoever we yield ourselves to, we yield ourselves to the TV all the time, then that's everything that's going to come out. I mean, you look at teenagers today, they get around their friends and they become a whole different person. You get them around a girl and it's a whole other story. Their world turns upside down, all catastrophic. They can't breathe because they got a girlfriend or a boyfriend now. I mean, they got to talk to them on the phone, or they get all depressed and just want to sleep all day. I mean, they don't understand some of the trials we go through, or because of some of the choices that we make, my brother and sister. We're either going to make, and sometimes we make the wrong choices because we're overtired and we're spent because of the demands of life today. Some of the choices we need to back up and say, well, wait a minute, I need to really pray and ask the Lord what I need to do in this situation. Before we make a financial decision, we need to go to God in prayer in these last days. Amen? I've made some decisions that I wish I hadn't sometimes without going to God in prayer. Because I'm telling you something right now, the economy isn't as good as America claims it to be. The economy is not what it appears to be. It's glittering, but it's not golden, my brother and sister. It appears to be there, but it is not there. In the trial that we went through of 9/11, those kind of trials are not over, my brother and sister. They're not over. Pains. Birth pains. Why does a woman have birth pains? Because of sin, my brother and sister. Why did 9/11 happen? Because the wall of righteousness is down in America. God loves America. I hope we can see a revival in America. I did say I hope we see a revival in America. I didn't say we would see one, because that's up to God. And it's up to America. That's true, Ruth. It's up to us. What are we going to do? God is merciful. God is not willing that anybody perish. But when you reject the gospel, you reject the grace. You reject the mercy. You reject the love of God. And you know what? I was praying today, and it's funny we get on this because it came to me today. I've heard it said my whole Christian life, well, if God doesn't do something with America, He's going to have to repent of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, He's not. You want to know why He's not? Because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the cross. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have Calvary. See, it's at the cross we find mercy. It's at the cross we find grace. And that revelation came to me by the Spirit of God. I wasn't even studying about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. God just dropped it in my heart. And I said, Lord, what is this for? Now I know what it's for. Now I know. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, I've heard it said for years, well, God's going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah if He doesn't judge America. No, He's not, my brother and sister. Because in Sodom and Gomorrah's days, you didn't have the cross. You had the old law days. You had the tablets. See, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus Christ that God's not going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. All of the judgments and acquisitions that God makes are right, and they are true according to the Scriptures. They are steadfast. God has only repented a few times, and that is when people have repented and gotten in sackcloth and ashes and repented themselves. That is when God has repented. Never has been because of a judgment or because of an act of judgment. God is never repenting. It has been when people have had a change of heart and there's been an inwardness change, and God saw the change and God repented. All of His acts, all of His judgments are right according to the Scripture. How dare we equivocate and think that we're wiser than God, that we need to tell God that He needs to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. How many heard that coming up in the church? I heard it for years. Years. And I was over there this morning, and I'm telling you, this morning God dropped it in my heart and I said, wow, that's good, Father. That's good. Even if it came from little old me, that's good. Even if God dropped it in this little man's heart, that is okay. I can accept that. Because we need to understand the power of the cross. We need to understand that that's where our power comes from. That's where our strength comes from. It comes from the cross of Christ. There is no other name whereby men can be saved other than Jesus. He is the elite and supernatural Savior. There is none above Him, my brother and sister. He is the one that we serve. He is the one that we follow. He is the one that is going to lead us in these last days. He is the one that is going to guide us with His arm and with His eye. He's going to guide us with His rod. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready, my brother and sister, for the trials to get tougher. Get ready for tribulation in your life to get worse. See, you thought it was going to be all positive, and it is. As long as you follow Jesus, it will be positive. As long as you look to the Master. As long as you look to God and you don't look to man. If we look to man, our resources are limited. Oh, but if we look to God, they're supernaturally sustained, my brother and sister. He can supernaturally sustain us like He did the woman with a cruse of oil and her son. He can dip in and we can dip out, and God can dip in. God can supernaturally sustain your bank account because He's God. He can supernaturally sustain our gas tanks if He needs us to, so we can come down here to church and be with the brethren, because we serve a supernatural God. I don't know what God you serve. I'm not worried about the sorry old Da Vinci code, because it's defeated. It's come straight from the eyes from the pit of hell. She came straight from the snake himself. I kind of am glad it came. Maybe it'll stir us Christians to speak up and to speak out, glory be to God. To speak out on the job and to speak out on the campuses that we attend school. Because God is alive and well. I was up early one morning, getting ready for work. And I happened to turn the TV on, and for some reason it flipped to, I want to say, American History Channel or something. Well, they were doing a documentary on witchcraft. I had to get ready for work, so I recorded it. I wanted to see what some people are doing these days. And it's not just kids today and that stuff. There's some doctors, there's some lawyers, and probably some of the doctors you go to may be in it. As I was watching it, I had Heather sitting beside me. And I was kind of just laughing on the inside because... And I thought of that scripture, God will send them a strong delusion that they would rather believe a lie than the truth. And I thought to myself, here they are. They're joyful about their religion. I mean, they're dancing like this all around in a circle. They're being joyous. They're being joyful. And I thought to myself, we can't get that in church. We can't get nobody to be joyful in church like that. Why is that? Is witchcraft that more predominant than Jesus? I don't think so. I mean, we come to God and it's like, we come to the house of God, especially when the pastor's not here, and we act like God's gone somewhere on vacation with the pastor. And I'm telling you, my brother and sister, He hasn't gone nowhere. We get quiet and we wonder, what's God going to do? I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. He's going to do everything we expect Him to do. And I expect Him to move in these services. And if we expect God to move, He's going to move. It don't matter if somebody comes through those doors demon-possessed. I'm not worried about it because God is greater. I'm not worried about it because Jesus is on the throne. I'm not worried about it because greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. I'm not worried about the situations that may arise without the pastor being here. I believe God will give me the wisdom on how to handle the situations. God, for some reason in His infinite thinking, thought I was qualified enough to do this, then He's going to have to give me the qualifications and the wisdom and the know-how how to handle some situations. And I don't always know how to, but God will give me the wisdom when I need it. If it means I need to go up to that person and say, you can either sit down in this service and be quiet, or you can leave the door. Hey, I've seen that happen coming up in my day. Thank you for the amens. I know churches aren't used to seeing that or doing that because we want everybody to come to church now. We just take them all. All sorts, all brands. It's kind of like having 20 different pairs of socks. Never finding a match. We just want them in the building so we can say we're successful. I don't want them in the building to appear successful before men. Because God knows the hearts of those people in those churches. And He knows the hearts of the people in this church. And He knows the hearts of the people in all the churches around the world. Whether they're truly saved or whether they're not. He knows whether you're being sincere, and He knows whether you're not being sincere. He knows whether I'm being sincere, and He knows whether I'm not being sincere. It's an amazing thing when we first get saved, man. We want to be in God's house. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, when we had Wednesday night service at our church, I was there, man. Even brought this goofy brother along, would sit on the front row with us. We had church on Wednesday night. Not only a handful of us, but we had church. We had some mighty, 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 mighty services. Mighty services. We all loved to come to church and God's house and hear what God's going to say next. And we were excited. And now life comes on and we're tired and we're working harder. And oh, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. So I'm only going to go on Sunday morning. That's right, I'm going to just go on Sunday morning. I can get enough of God Sunday morning through the rest of the week. You're better than me, my brother and sister. Better than me, because I need God Sunday morning. I need God Sunday night. I need God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I need Him all the time. So how Christians can just go to the 8 o'clock Sunday morning service, and that be it all week long, that's why they walk around so depressed. Because they're always on empty. Because they never come and get filled up with God's joy and with God's peace. See, there's safety when we're together, my brother and sister. The wolf can't come and try to take you away when we're together. But when you're alone, that's when he seeks you out. That's when he sends that man, that boy that you've been looking for. See, when you get alone out there in college, he sends that glittering man that you so long for, that you feel is going to fulfill all your desires. He's going to fulfill all your desires. That's the man for me right there. He's good looking. He's got a little bit of money, and that's the hunk of man for me right there. That's the hunk of man for me. And you start going out with him, and as John Hagee said, not only do you get the monkey in his cage when you get married. See, everything that's glitter is in gold. Everything that's glitter is in gold. The devil's got a plan for you too. God's got a plan. And the devil has a plan. I'm going to say this out of experience. Most of you know me. Most of you have seen my failures. Most of you have seen my mistakes, so there's nothing to hide. God knows it anyway. I went out with somebody that had two sisters. Had a brother and a sister that was younger. And it was a deception from the enemy. And then Heather came along with two kids. See, I told you, God has a plan and the devil has a plan. I learned something going through that. I learned that the enemy always tries to send a deceiving, falsified blessing to your life before the real blessing comes. Thank you for the amens. Before God blesses you, the enemy always tries to send a counterfeit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the word I was looking for. And I had a counterfeit come in my life and wreak havoc and wreak turmoil and wreak because I made the wrong choice. Because I wanted to get married. Did you hear what I said? I wanted to get married. So because of the choices that I made, I went down some roads and I went through some trials and I went through some tribulations that I didn't have to go through. If I hadn't have made some of the choices that I made. Boy, it's quiet in here. Y'all must really be soaking this in. Or y'all are really convicted, one or the other. Anyway, moving right along. So as I begin to seek God, because I was in trouble, I was going through a trial, I held on to one song that got me through. Because I really wanted to just give up. But God wouldn't let me. God would send me people by my pass in the grocery store. People would walk up to me that I didn't know. Could have been angels, I don't know. You know, God loves you. And I really didn't want to hear that at that time. Because, you know, when we really make mistakes, that's the last thing we want to hear, is that God loves us, because we feel unworthy. But thank God He does love us. So as I begin to listen to the song by Ray Bolts called The Anchor Holds, God began to teach me. God began to show me some things. God actually began to give me sermons, believe it or not. And I said, well, where's this coming from, Father? And I began to write stuff down, and I just put it in a book and put it away. And as God began to bring me out, I would begin to read about as God chooses who He gives mercy to. And I said, wow, God actually chooses who He gives mercy to and who He doesn't. So I begin to study on that, and I come to find out, you know, God knows your heart. God knows if you're really being sincere with Him or not. And I was really sincere. I went to my pastor, let everything out of the bag, repented, did everything I know to do. I went to these people. I washed their feet. And I'm not trying to claim to be super spiritual at all. I want to lay this out for you. And it's an amazing thing when I'm washing feet, my mother's getting cussed out on the telephone. So I go home and my mom tells me that, so I begin to do a lot of thinking. And eventually, sometimes us men, we're stubborn. We always like to appear we're right. So all these people are saying, that's not the one for you, Brother Sean. That's not the one for you, Brother Sean. I said, all these people can't be wrong. Wow, what a concept. But I had to walk through that. I had to learn that on my own. You can tell somebody till you're blue in the face, but until they walk through it themselves, they're not going to learn the lesson. And as I begin to walk, and as I begin to ponder on that, and as I begin to see God, I begin to see things that disturb me about this individual that really didn't attract me to Him. And it's an amazing thing. If I would have prayed like I thought I did, I would have probably never been in this situation to begin with. That's why I said earlier that it's important that we make the right choices, that we go to God in prayer. And we ask God, is this for me? And see, I was wanting to get married. I was wanting to get married like right now. And that's the reason I was married last from Jimmy, Doug, and myself. I was married last. Now, Michael Schutz, on the other hand, we're still waiting on God to come through for him. But if he so chooses to stay alone for the rest of his life, God will give him the grace to do that. You're a better man than me, Michael. Anyhow, moving right along. So as I begin to see this, I went to this person and said, look, this has got to stop. This is going to end. And, you know, of course, things don't always go the way you plan. And I said, well, I'm done. This thing's over. Can't see you anymore. And, you know, of course, you know how girls, women get. They get all emotional. And I says, sorry you feel that way. Have a nice day. I've got to go. And I left it like that. And I came home and was going through what I went through. And I just picked up my Bible and I began to read it. I began to read it some more and read it some more and read it some more. And God began to get me through. And as I began to read it, I began to say, you know, I'm not upset. I'm not emotional. I should be emotional. I should be upset, and I'm not. I said, thank you, Father, for your deliverance. Sometimes God will use people to speak to you and help you through your tribulation, will help you through your trial. But you have to accept responsibility when you've made the wrong choices. That's the only reason I'm up here today, is because I accepted responsibility for my choices. And I went to the pastor and asked forgiveness. I went to God first and foremost and asked forgiveness. But as I asked God for forgiveness, He then said, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And I want you to humble yourself and do this. And I said, okay, I'll do it by the grace of God. And you know what? Before all this transpired, God spoke to me and said, I want you to hold your peace through this whole situation. I don't want you to say a word. That's hard for me to do. I don't know about you. Not to say a word, not to defend myself, not to say a word. He basically wanted me to do what the Scripture says, hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. If we could learn that, we would see great victories in the kingdom of God. Just hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. Would you please stand to your feet? I don't know what some of you are going through. I don't know some of the hardships of life that you carry. But I want you to know that God is with you in the fire, through the flood. God is with you. God is with you. And I want you to know that if you need prayer, you need support, we are here for you as a body, as believers together. We're in this thing together. I've got a saying that I say that none of us is as strong as all of us. Because see, one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. So the more of us there is to gather around you in prayer, the better the outcome. So if you ever need prayer, don't you hesitate to come up here for prayer just because the pastor's not here. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to show Himself strong because the pastor's not here. Because God wants you to depend on Him and not just a man. And I'm not saying anything against my pastor because I love him. But I know sometimes I lean to my pastor too much, just like we all do. Sometimes we look to the man, our pastor, instead of looking to the man, Christ Jesus. And God wants us to look to the man, Christ Jesus, not because our pastor isn't a godly man or anything, but because He alone is God. He alone is God. Remember, God is God, man is man. With man is the armor of flesh. Oh, but with God, with God, with God, I'm telling you, with God. With God, it's different. It's supernatural. It's abundant. His arm is not short that it cannot save. Hallelujah. Brother Doug, do you have some worship music for us? Thank you, Father. Did not I tell Moses I am? That I am. I am the I am, saith the Lord. I am God, and above me there is no other. I am your God, just as I was his God. I am your God this day, my people. I have begotten thee, I love thee, and again I say unto you, I am your God, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Don't doubt God. Question. You can question, just don't doubt Him. Too many times we doubt Him. Too many times we doubt Him. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, why am I going through this? But make sure we don't get the attitude of the world and start accusing God. There's a fine line between questioning and accusing. Too many times, the saints of God accuse God instead of questioning God. When we accuse Him, we cut our arms off. We cut our legs off. We cut our help off when we accuse Him. But when we ask Him, Lord, why am I going through this?